Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
Psalms 37, chapter 5, and I have it in the King James Version. Well, I've got stuff going on here. You guys are like blessing my spirit. It says, commit thy ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Another version says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me today? Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. So today I want to talk to you about being committed. Look at your neighbor and say, be committed. Now, I didn't really hear you. Say, be committed. Shout your neighbor's ear off and say, be committed. Because the word commit is not really a word that's prevalent in our society anymore, in our generation, really in our churches. We want to give our word to something, but there's really no more bond to it, right? We have good intentions, but really no follow through. And we struggle with being committed. If you think about how many times you signed up for a gym membership, myself included, and we'll go to the gym and we're there for about 2 weeks. And then that Wednesday morning when the alarm clock goes off and we were like, oops, snooze, because we're not committed, right? How about when we have our diet eating plan? We struggle with it because we're not always committed, because when you get people around you that bring in Lamar's donuts to everything and you're like, Lord Jesus, help me now, you're not really committed to your diet plan, right? How about we struggle sometimes with being committed to our jobs? I've never seen a generation so uncommitted to a job. They bounce from job to job to job to job because they're not really committed. How about church? We don't like what Pastor preached last week. Lord Jesus, help me. And we're not really committed, so we bounce around from church to church to church. We don't like what the praise and worship team sounds like, or we don't like, you know, the style or whatever, so we just bounce from church to church because we're not really committed. When we're asked to serve on a team at church, right? And we sign up for it and we say, yeah, I'm going to help in the kids ministry and I'm really excited about it. And then when your week comes and you have one bad week because kids are great all the time, we're not really committed. We can't really find you anymore. And then we're calling you and then we got to try to find somebody else. And we're not really being committed. When our team, our sports team is losing, myself included have done this, we're not really committed. Because we struggle with being committed. We like the idea of it, but we're unwilling to do the things required. When life gets too hard, we just wanna quit, right? Because society tells us, hey, it's okay to quit. You don't like something, quit it. You don't need to keep your commitments. It's, you know, move on to the next thing. But I'm so thankful that we have a pastor who's been preaching a series on different. And we've got different faith. We've got different values. We're called to a higher standard. We're called to greatness. And we are people of our word. We are people of commitment. We're going to be committed to our families. We're going to be committed to reading the word. We're going to be committed to praying. We're going to be committed to standing firm. No matter what, we're going to be committed to the right relationships. We're going to be committed to going after Jesus. We're committed to the cause. We're committed to the kingdom. Do we got anybody that's committed here today? Committed. You will never do anything great or have anything great without commitment. Let me say it again. You will never do anything great or have anything great without commitment. We aspire to have great things, right? But we don't stay committed long enough to see it through because commitment is hard work. And we don't always like hard work, right? We want the outcome, but we don't want to put the work and time and energy into it. So because we don't put the work into it, our marriage suffers. Because we don't put the work into it, our faith suffers. Because we don't put the work into it, our calling suffers. Because we don't put the work into it, our family suffers. Because we're not putting the energy into it, our potential suffers. Our identity suffers. Our business suffers. Because we don't want to stay committed. Because committed is not a word that we use in society today. But we're called to push against society and say, we are a church that's committed. We are a body that's committed. We are a people that are committed. Come on, somebody. Because let me just tell you this. God has placed too much, look at your neighbor and say, too much inside of you for you not to commit to the cause. He wants you to have great and to be great. Look at your neighbor and says, he wants you to have great and he wants you to be great. Here's the deal with commitment. Commitment is a great separator. What do you mean by that? Commitment separates people who are in shape from those who are not, because they're committed to getting in shape, right? Commitment separates people who are prosperous from those who are poor, because they're committed to a budget. Commitment separates those from a happy ever after to those of I can't take it anymore, because they're committed to their marriage. Commitment separates those that live the dream versus those that keep dreaming the dream. It's a great separate. Commitment is not something that you do because it's convenient. Commitment is what you do because it is inconvenient. Commitment means we're all in. I'm dedicated. I'm devoted. You can't get rid of me. You can't shake me. You're stuck with me. I'm willing to sacrifice because I believe in it so much. Do you believe in it enough to commit to it? Do you believe in your marriage enough to commit to it? Do you believe in your family enough to commit to it? Do you believe in your church enough to commit to it? Do you believe in your pastor enough to commit to him? Do you believe in your family enough to commit to it? Do you believe in your calling enough to commit to it? Do you believe in your faith enough to commit to it? I'm willing to sacrifice because I believe in it. I'm committed. So look at your neighbor and say, I'm committed. But see, our culture knows a different C word. We know the word complaining. Oh, Lord Jesus, we know the word complaining. We complain about not having enough because we don't want to work hard enough to get it. I'm not going to drop pastor's mic. We complain about not being used by God, but when pastor asks us to serve in the church, where are we? There's no commitment. We complain about it. We complain about our business not succeeding, but we don't want to do anything to make it successful. So we complain about it. We complain about our spouse and their faults, but we're not willing to put the work and effort into myself to become a better mate. We complain that we don't have enough money for anything, but we won't commit to God to give him what's his and budget the rest of it. We are uncommitted to society. But the only thing, let me tell you this, the only thing keeping you from it, whatever your it may be, is commitment. The enemy has lied to you. He's told you that you can't, you won't, you'll never, you never will, you're never gonna make it, you never, but let me tell you, commitment will always get you there. Thomas Edison, who did the light bulb, this is what they said of him. Thomas Edison's teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. What has the enemy been telling you? He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive. As an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. When a reporter asked him, how did you fail? How did it feel to fail 1,000 times? Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps, because commitment will get you there. He was committed to seeing it through. Are you going to be committed to seeing it through the highs, through the lows, through the ups, through the downs, through the hurt, through the pain, through the shame, through the upsetment? Are you committed to seeing it through? Because here's what we do. So too many times we get committed. We get committed to laziness. We get committed to the offense. We get committed to the jealousy, or we get committed to the bad relationships, because we make one after the other after the other. We get committed. We get committed to gossiping. We get committed to fighting with our neighbors and fighting with our spouse. But I wish some of you would fight for your faith the way that you fight with your spouse. I wish some of you would fight for your freedom, fight for your victory, fight for your healing, fight for your spouse, fight for your church, fight for your pastor, fight for increase, fight for the love of Jesus, but get a fight in your spirit to say, I am committed. High five your neighbor and say, I'm committed. Because God is not going to bless something that you're not committed to. What do you mean by that? Well, don't pray for money if you're not committed to a job. Don't ask God to change your spouse if you're not committed to being a better spouse. Don't ask God for a new car if you're not committed to oil changes. Because God can't bless your mess. Don't ask God for more if you're not committed to, if you're not willing to commit to what he has already given you. Well, Pastor Jillian, that's really tough. I know. Because anything that's worth anything is tough. Being married, it's tough, right? All the married people that have been married longer than one day can say amen. Keeping your purity when you're not married is tough. Getting out of debt is not easy. It's going to be tough. Getting your degree, tough. Staying devoted to your church in times of turmoil, in times of crisis, can be tough sometimes. Staying sober can be tough. Getting good grades can be tough. Staying away from peer pressure can be tough. Trying to stand through the hurt and the pain and the issues can be tough. But I am so thankful that we had a God who stayed committed when it was tough, when he was hanging on a tree, who was humiliated, laughed at, mocked, scorched, tortured. He was committed. The difference between you and I is we would have maybe gave up, but God stayed committed. Come on, somebody give him a high praise today. Thank you for your commitment, Jesus. Woo! 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. I love what this says, and I never read this scripture before. Maybe I had, and just it never dawned on me. But here's what it says. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those." Somebody say strengthen. To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. How many people need some strength today? God's searching. And he wants to know, he said, hey, baby, I'm going to give you strength. But I want to know that you're fully committed to me. Anybody fully committed today? Because here's the deal. You're going to need, God is searching to strengthen you if you're committed. Being fully committed takes strength. Being married takes strength. Keeping your mouth shut when you know you should keep your mouth shut can take strength. Coming to church for 3 services, getting here at 7 in the morning, leaving at 3 in the afternoon for 3 service, 4 service, 5 service, it's going to take strength, right? Greeting at the door when you don't want to, when you don't feel good, when you've got bronchitis in your spirit, it's going to take strength, right? Trusting God when you have lost everything, when you don't know what you're going to do, when sickness is coming your way, takes strength. But if you're willing to commit fully, that scripture right there says God will give you the strength that you need. And somebody who needs strength today needs to know, that's all I got to do is be fully committed. I need the strength. I'm going to be fully committed to Jesus today. Because commitment, look at your neighbor, say, commitment is not a feeling. It's a choice. I am committed to my marriage because I chose to be committed to Brian Nathaniel Gallardo. I chose. I have a covenant relationship with him, and that doesn't mean some mornings I feel like loving on him. I don't feel like, no, I am committed because I made a choice. I made a covenant with him. Go sit down. I'm committed to my team. I'm committed to being here. I'm committed to taking care of my body. I'm committed to making a budget and sticking to it. I'm committed to living right. I'm committed to the cause. I'm committed to Jesus because it's not a feeling. I don't always feel like it, right? I'm so glad Jesus didn't base dying on a cross on a feeling, that he was committed to it. What are you committed to today? Are you committed to the offense? Somebody hurt you, so you're committed to constantly feeling that. Are you willing to sacrifice for that offense? Are you committed to the hurt and pain of yesterday, of your past, and you're willing to sacrifice your future because you're committed to that? Are you committed to the addiction, and so now you're willing to sacrifice your family because of an addiction? What are you committed to? Let's choose today to be fully committed to Jesus. I serve Jesus. I made a choice. It's more than a feeling. It's more than a goosebump. I choose to serve Jesus no matter what. Tell your neighbor, no matter what. Are you committed? Are you fully committed? Because God is looking to strengthen those people. So today, that was my intro. I know, I was like, whoo. That was 6 pages, guys, of intro. And I was trying to time myself because I haven't done three services. So y'all pray for me because my first service is always my favorite. And I'll tell that to second and third too. So today, I want to give you three things that Jesus was committed to that if we want to be more like him, we need to be committed to. So my point number one is Jesus was committed to the Father. Dad, God the Father, had the final word. He didn't care. Jesus didn't care what the world said. He didn't care what religious leaders said. He didn't care what his friends, the disciples said. He didn't even care what his mother and brother said because God the Father had the final word. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. In the Amplified version, it says, again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, the splendor, magnificence, and excellence of them. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, go away, Satan, for it is written, and forever remains written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is what Jesus was saying. His statement was, is no matter what, I'm committed to Dad. You can give me all the money. You can give me all the kingdoms. You can give me the nice things. You can give me a good time. You can offer me everything that you want to, but I am committed to God the Father. I'm not bowing down to that thing. I'm not surrendering to the world. I'm not bowing down to anything else because nothing that you offer me is better than when he offers me because he offers me love. He offers me freedom. He offers me victory. He offers me forgiveness. He offers me healing. And whatever you got, I don't want it because I only want what God the Father has to give to me. Jesus was committed to the Father. So what that means is whatever God requests, you say yes. Whatever you request of me, Jesus, I am saying yes because I'm committed to God the Father first. Everything else is secondary. Everything else. And we've got, so in that, we've got to know that we cannot be committed to certain things any longer. We can't listen to the same music we did before if God the Father is first, right? We can't watch the same things if God the Father is first. We can't have those same conversations and use that same tongue to curse others and lift up the name of Jesus because God the Father is first. We can't go the same places that we used to go. We can't do the same things, not because we can't, because we choose not to, because God the Father is first. And we've got to stop riding the fence. So many times we do this in a cycle. I would read my daughter, every morning we read a Bible passage, and she's always like, why are the Israelite kids always messing up? And I'm like, right, they're pretty jacked up. And the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, it's a cycle. We're all jacked up. We constantly make mistakes. We constantly are going through cycles where we're half in, half out. We're serving Jesus. We're not. We're calling on Jesus when we need something. And then we're when we don't need something, we're fine. And we've got to learn to be all in. Because if we're not all in, baby, we're not all in. Be all in. We've got to be committed to that. Because you can't be committed to God if you're still in that relationship that is not of God. You can't be committed to God if you're still talking the way that you talk. You can't be committed to God if you're still living in sin. You are not all in if you are not fully submitted to him. In the Message Bible, Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 says that the Pharisees were talking to Jesus and they were trying to trip him up. And they said, teacher, which command in the law, in God's law is the most important? And this is the Message version. It said, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. All the other versions say with your heart, soul, mind, body, strength, all of that stuff. But here's the part I wanted to get to. This is the most important. Look at your neighbor and say, the most important. The first on any list. Loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our passion, with all of our intelligence is the first on the list because God wants total commitment. He doesn't want you half in, half out. God says that's lukewarm in my mouth and he will spit you out. He don't want it half warm. You're either all in or you're not at all. fully submitted. Jesus was fully submitted to his Father. He was fully committed to the Father. So that tells me we need to be fully committed to the Father, right? So point number two, Jesus was committed to his purpose. People struggle with three basic things in life, I believe. Who am I? Do I matter? What is my purpose and place in life? Your life has a purpose. Let me just tell you right now, we are not called to just suck up air, to go through a secular cycle in life, to wake up in the morning, go to work, eat, go to bed, and do it again, to suck up air, to breathe, and just go through this, and then die. God did not place you on this earth for that purpose. He has a purpose and destiny inside of you that only you have. There's only one Brian Gallardo. There's only one Jillian Gallardo. There's only one Stacy Dabney. And you have to know that you are significant. And God has placed so much inside of you. And you've just got to tap into that. God wants to do something significant in you and through you. He has a great plan for you. And I love this about God. It doesn't matter what your age is, what your height is, what your weight is, what your color is, what your gender is. He has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter what you did, what you have done, what you're going to do, what you have yet to do, because he still has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter what you did, what your past looks like. He has a purpose for you. So don't give up on your purpose on God. No matter what you've done, he still has a purpose for it. Don't matter if you're 85 years old, he still has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter if you're 3 years old, he has a purpose for you. Jesus was committed to his purpose. His purpose on this earth was to introduce people to the love of the Father and die on the cross for our sins so we could know the love of the Father. He was committed to his purpose. When people got in his way and said, Peter told them, "You know, no. Jesus, we're not going to let you die on the cross. That's horrible. No, we got your back." And Jesus maybe was like, "Hey, I appreciate that, bro, but get behind me. You got to go because it's not my will. It's about his will, what he wants for me. And my purpose is to go and do what the will of the Father is." We get to spend an eternity with a loving Father because Jesus was committed to his purpose. Jesus didn't get distracted. He didn't give up when it got too hard, because I'm sure it got real hard. And he didn't let others talk him out of his purpose. I am so thankful that we have a pastor on the front row who didn't let people talk him out of his purpose. When he was willing to go somewhere else, when people told him, "No, don't go to Kansas City, what are you doing?" He said, "No, I've got to be about what God told me to do." And many of you are here today because he was not distracted in his purpose. Don't let people talk you out of your purpose and your destiny and what God has placed in you. Will you get committed to your purpose so others can know Jesus too? Well, Pastor Jillian, I don't really know what my purpose is. Well, that's okay. But here's how you figure it out. You get into the Word of God and you find out who God is, because once you know who God is, you know who you are. You discover who God is and what he says about you. You pray, you ask God, say, "God, I really don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. I need you to reveal to me what it is." You get around godly relationships. I didn't say people that just believe in God. I said godly relationships, people that can point you and help you and say, "Yeah, you need to work that out. Let's pray about that. Let's go talk with our pastor. Let's work that out." But it's already in you. And you need to know that God has placed whatever he needs you to do inside of you. It's in you to do. You just got to go after it. And here's all of our purpose. I'm going to already wrap it up for you. All of our purpose in this life, when we profess Jesus as Lord, our purpose is always to win the lost, is always to tell people about Jesus. Why would we not tell people about a loving God who can help them, who heals the sick, who opens the eyes of the blind? Why would we not want to tell people about Jesus? That's all of our purpose. So now you can leave here today knowing that you have a purpose. And your purpose is to win the lost to Jesus. Jesus was about the purpose. And Jeremiah 29:11, everybody knows this, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God has purpose and destiny on the inside of you. You just got to tap into it. He's got great plans for you. Will you commit to your purpose? Jesus was committed to the Father. Jesus was committed to his purpose, so it means to tell me that we should be committed to our purpose. And point number three, Jesus was committed to finish. So many times in my life, I'm great at starting things, let's be honest, but I'm not always good at finishing them. I will start a book and have every intention of finishing it, and I never finish it. I've got probably 20 books that I've started, and I thought, man, this book is amazing, and I never finish it. And I always think, man, I'm kind of jacked up a little bit. Why don't I finish stuff? You know, I was great at starting our Bible plan at the beginning of the year. Don't all y'all judge me. But I haven't been so great at finishing it. And I really want to be able to finish strong in some points in my life. I want to finish strong in my marriage. I want to finish strong in my family. I want to finish strong in my faith. I want to finish strong in my relationships. And it's so important that we get back on course. Many of us have been good at starting things. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it talks about running a race and finishing well. And we're not at that point where we're finishing well. Because a lot of us have gotten off course. We've taken off our tennis shoes and kicked them off because we didn't want to finish the race. Because something happened. A hurt happened. A pain happened. I got distracted in this relationship, and I got off course, and I did something I shouldn't, and I smoked it again. I did it again, or I just had a funky, bad attitude. And somehow we just get off course, and we're not back in course to get finished. But the good news is today is you can finish well. All you got to do is get your shoes back on. Tie your shoes back up. Knot them back up and say, you know what? I may have hit some obstacles. I may have gotten knocked off course. I may have taken a wrong turn somewhere. But the good thing about Jesus is his love is unconditional. Unconditional. He is there for you. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me. I want that to be my testimony. I want to finish the work that God has given me to do. Because really, commitment means longevity. I am in this till the end because I am willing to sacrifice for what I believe.